God's word says in the last days he'll pour out his spirit upon us and we'll dream dreams and see visions. Has God himself put a dream within your heart? I want to encourage you today to dare to dream.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
There's no question that there are all kinds of flaky people out there, and they believe God speaks to them and God shows them things, and they're expecting it to snow in the summertime, and they're going to be the next president of the United States, and 10 million people are going to be saved through their testimony, and they're complete flakes. On the flip side, there's no question that God speaks to people through his word, by his spirit, gives them promises. It's happened throughout the history of Scripture. It's happened throughout history since the giving of Scripture. God speaks. God puts promises in the hearts and lives of his people. He gives them vision, and those things are real. And with God, with those who believe, all things are possible. I want to encourage you today here on The Line of Fire to dare to dream. Michael Brown, delighted to be with you. Your voice of moral, cultural, spiritual revolution. Friends, with all my heart, I believe that there will be a moral and cultural revolution in our country. Oh, there may be other things that happen that are carnal revolutions, that are things that are by human intimidation and human force and anger and hatred and violence, and we renounce those. But I'm talking about a Jesus-based revolution. I'm talking about radical change coming through the gospel. Friends, I believe that if we're faithful, you and I will live to see that in our day, that we will live to see a radical change come here in America. With man, it is impossible. With God, all things are possible. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. I am going to share some things from my own life more than I normally do on the broadcast today. Things to encourage you, things that you'll be able to identify with, things that hopefully will build faith in your own heart and life. And I invite you to call if you really believe that God has spoken to you, that something's going to happen in America, that revival is going to come, that there's going to be a cultural shift, that righteousness is going to rise, that cities will be impacted. I'm not asking for you to tell me who you are and the calling on your life and the things the Lord may have shown you for you, okay? Whether he has or not, that'll be proven between you and the Lord. But I'm talking about things he's put in your heart and you believe that they're really going to happen. I mean the kind of thing that you can't shake. I mean, the kind of thing that over the process of years, the closer you get to the Lord, the more the thing becomes real. And it's clear that you're not a flake. It's clear that you're not just out there predicting nonsense all the time, but that there are things that have been put in your heart that you just can't shake. And I've had people tell me over the years, as I've had things burn in me and they just won't go away, and there are things God's spoken and he's called me to do, and I believe he's spoken about our nation. And I've shared that with friends. One of my friends basically said to me, don't try to shake it, Mike, run with it. And that's what we need to do if it's really from the Lord. We need to pray into it. We need to give ourselves to it. We need to believe. We need to be used by God right in the here and now to prepare the way for what is coming tomorrow. 866-34-TRUTH. I believe you'll be encouraged and stirred today on the broadcast. I also just want to share with you something that happened. It's illustrative, but something that happened at the airport when I was flying to Dallas last week. I'll tell you about that on the other side of the break. Oh, and yes, I'm well aware of the case in Florida with the school teacher of the year last year, 22 years in his school district, who made comments on his private Facebook page, on his private computer, in his private time, being very upset about the passage of same-sex marriage in New York. Remember, it's not legal in Florida. And he's been suspended from his job. Of course, I knew about that at the end of last week, but just kind of waiting for the news to get out there and hit most of you so that you can email me and say, did you know about this? Did you hear about this? Uh-huh. Yeah. That's why we've been sounding the alarm for some time. We'll come back with that later in the show. Stay with us.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks so much, friends, for joining us today on The Line of Fire broadcast. Michael Brown, delighted to be with you as I encourage you in the Lord to dare to dream. I'm not talking about just getting psyched up. I'm not talking about just having a pep talk. I'm not talking about getting emotional. I'm not talking about trying to work ourselves into some altered state of consciousness. I'm talking about believing what God has written in His Word and then believing specific things He's spoken into your own life, things that stay with you, things that get confirmed over a period of years. Things that the closer you get to the Lord, the more intense they become, the more profound and real and deep they become. I want to encourage you to dare to dream, to believe God, and to pray as one who believes, and to speak as one who believes. 866-34-TRUTH. When I had German evangelist Reinhard Bonnke on the air with me back in March 15th, if you missed the broadcast, go to my website, AskDrBrown.org, and click on The Line of Fire, and then just do a search for Reinhard Bonnke's name, B-O-N-N-K-E, or B-O-N-K-K-E. I always spell the last name wrong. Or just search for Reinhard, R-E-I-N-H-A-R-D. He explained, when God spoke to him, the vision, Africa shall be saved. Now remember, he's preached to hundreds of millions of people face to face, or at least many tens of millions. They've seen 50 to 60 million professions of faith in the last couple of decades alone. It's quite an extraordinary ministry the Lord's given him, very Jesus-centered. If you listen to the messages, simple messages of faith and repentance and God's power to set the captive free. But he was ministering in Africa. He was in the small African country of Lesotho. He had just preached a meeting in a hut to five people and preached his heart out, and zero got saved. Nobody got saved when he preached. Nobody. And he went to sleep that night and had a dream, and he saw a blood-washed Africa from Cape Town in the south to Cairo in the north, and heard the Lord say, Africa shall be saved. And he was wonderfully encouraged when he heard it, but then reality began to strike him, and come on, don't kid yourself, man. You preached to five people in a hut last night. Nobody got saved. You're seeing almost no results here in a little country in Africa. Right. Africa shall be saved. Right. Sure, that's going to happen. But he said the Lord gave him the dream four straight nights, because he figured after that first night, something I ate. It's not real. Four straight nights, after which, as he began to come up to people he knew, have you heard the news? Africa shall be saved. I heard him proclaiming it back in 1984 as the vision was expanding then, and it's remarkable to see what God has done. It's not about a person, it's about God. 2 Corinthians 5 says that we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power might be God's, not ours. That's Paul's message in 2 Corinthians 4 and 5, that it's through regular earthen vessels, through weak human beings, frail in ourselves, through whom God works. My faith is in the power of God. Okay, let me just mention something first. That happened when I was in the airport. I was at the airport in Charlotte, as I fly in and out of there all the time. And I'm getting to check in on my flight. I'll go over to the gate area, the crowded gate area, to fly out to Dallas. And I see a guy, a big guy, actually bigger than me. And he's wearing a shirt, and I see the back of it. And in big, big letters, it says, it has the F word. Blank, y'all. I'm from Texas. And I thought, what in the world? Now, I was in Philly. I was flying out of Philly a few weeks ago, and there was a guy who had the F word on his shirt. And I went over to the gate agent. I said, hey, is that allowed? I mean, you got little children here. And they said, oh, we don't think so. We'll do something. Well, it didn't seem that they did anything. So I just went and sat down next to the guy, started to talk to him, have a conversation with him, and ended up ministering the gospel to him and talking about the morality of what he was wearing and so on, but tried to get to larger issues about the Lord. We had a nice talk, shook his hand, and went on. Nothing else I could do beyond that. Well, here I'm in my home airport in Charlotte, and this shirt is so blatant. So I go over to a gate agent, and I ask this gate agent, hey, is that legal? Is that acceptable? They said, well, if somebody complains, we'll do something. I said, well, I'm a grandfather. I'm an educator. I'm complaining. So, and there are little kids sitting around, all around it. So she makes a call to the supervisor. She said, oh, actually, someone else complained already. You're the second one. So I wait. I follow up. A supervisor comes over. He waits for some more people. They come over, and they go over to the fellow, and they say something. He doesn't even change his expression. Not the slightest change in expression. Just walks away, comes back wearing a different shirt. He obviously went into one of the stores there and got himself a new T-shirt, put it on. I thought they were going to make him turn it around inside out. When he came walking on the plane, I noticed there he's wearing a different shirt. The point is this. If nobody speaks up, nothing happens. If nobody speaks up, nothing happens. Things just continue to degenerate. Things just continue to get worse all around us. And I told US Airways, I said, hey, I'm a chairman preferred flyer, which is the top of the chain there in terms of the highest status you can have flying. I said, I'm a chairman preferred flyer, and I've got a radio show, and I will commend you for doing this. So I'm glad that US Airways in Charlotte did the right thing here and thought about families, thought about morality. But see, there's a lot of stuff that's somewhat nebulous, and it's up to us to speak up. It's up to us to stand up. It's up to us to make a difference. By God's grace, as we have the God Has a Better Way rally in the midst of the Pride Charlotte event, the Gay Pride event this coming Saturday in Charlotte, as we rally hundreds of believers together wearing red shirts, proclaiming God has a better way, moms, dads, kids, just to go in the midst of the event, hand out bottles of water, share the love of God. We are also having a presence there to say, when you make a public loud proclamation in our city and you challenge various values of our city, and you tell us that we are a bigoted and intolerant for not embracing and celebrating homosexuality, we love you. And at the same time, we will raise a standard in the midst of the city saying God has a better way. It makes a difference. We had the district attorney tell us that there are certain issues, certain moral issues that depend on community standards, depend on the level within the community. And as the community standards change, what they enforce changes. There's certain laws, black and white, on the books. There are other things that are going to either fall through the cracks or will get higher up on the list. So let me share some of my own journey. Not long after I was saved, within the first year or so, I felt stirred to write a paragraph on faith. I was so excited about it. I was so proud of it. I showed it to my dad. I showed it to my pastor. Wow. It was, you know, maybe 17 years old at this point. And I really felt called to write. Now, you have to understand, in our circles, in our teaching circles, our church circles, we did not have a big emphasis on writing books. That was not a real vision. I mean, you were a pastor, you were a preacher. Those were the kind of visions we had, maybe a missionary. But we didn't think a lot about writing, and yet I felt this stirring. I'm called to write. Do you know that it was 17 years, almost 18, before the Lord released me to write in that way? I would feel burdened. I would feel gripped. I would feel moved on. I would start to write, and it would go a page with passion, with fire, the way I would preach. And then it would stop. It would let up. It wouldn't flow. It would go in the right direction. I then started to get into academic writing, and I could write academic scholarly stuff. I mean, it was so good when I was done writing, I didn't even know what I meant when I was done. I couldn't even understand it. Good scholarly stuff. Okay, I'm kidding a little, but trust me, it was technical, and page 3 cross-referenced page 11, which cross-referenced back to page 6, which cross-referenced page 84, and you had to check all the cross-references before you were going to understand that. Well, here's a fact, friends. After 17, 18 years in the Lord, suddenly the floodgates opened up and the anointing to write just came pouring out of me. And I wrote in a 3-week period, End of the American Gospel Enterprise. I wrote the way I preached, and it was passionate and it was clear. And then within a few years, one book after another came out, How Saved Are We? And Whatever Happened to the Power of God? And Our Hands Are Stained with Blood, and It's Time to Rock the Boat. And most of those books, from that time till this, have continuously remained in print. And some of them are as many as a dozen languages. And I remember this thing always hanging over me. You're never going to finish. You start well, but you don't finish. You start well, but you don't finish. You know, you'll never finish your academic studies. You'll never finish your writing. You'll never finish this. You'll never finish that. The things hung over me. And yet there was this dream. There was something I knew I was called to do. now 20 books later with 3, 4, 5 burning inside of me to write and get out in the coming months and years, and by God's grace, books making an impact around the world, I know that that thing that God showed me was from him, even though for years there was frustration. For years, I would pray, I would cry out, Lord, you're calling me to do this, but it doesn't flow, it doesn't happen. And yet the dream was real. Oh, there are much bigger dreams I'm going to share with you. There are dreams that I believe will affect all of us here in America. I'm going to share with you shortly. But I want to encourage every one of you listening, if the Lord has really put something into your own heart and mind, if the Lord has really spoken to you, dare to dream. And if it's simply a promise written in Scripture, how much more? Dare to dream. We'll be back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I want to get to some calls shortly, but let me start here with a dream that God put in my heart back in the early to mid-80s. We're talking about daring to dream. I'm encouraging you today to believe the dream that God has put in your heart, to believe the thing that burns deep down inside of you. 866-34-TRUTH, online, askdrbrown.org. Click on the Line of Fire. When I first started preaching, which was August 21st of 1973, so 38-plus years ago, I began to have this vision that I'd be preaching to thousands of people and seeing them repent and turn to God. Maybe in those days, the crowd was a few hundred big in my mind's eye, but it felt like thousands. And looking back, of course, by God's grace, we've spoken to crowds of many thousands and even over several hundred thousand on at least one occasion. And with the vision, there was always something that I'd see God move in radical ways, that I'd see real outpouring of the Spirit. And then in 1982, in the little church we were part of on Long Island, we had an outpouring of the Spirit. God moved mightily. We saw great repentance. We saw people's lives radically changed. That was 82, 83. And God began to speak to me. The Holy Spirit began to speak to me that I would be part of a revival that would touch the entire world. I couldn't shake it. I remembered saying to myself, you're crazy, man. You're off. You're off the wall. Now, tomorrow, I want to spend the entire time on both hours of the broadcast tomorrow talking about dangerous deceptions in the body. Dangerous deceptions, all right? So I am all for searching everything out by the Word of God and sifting everything out by the Word of God and examining our lives by the Word of God and judging our experiences by the Word of God. But the more I would pray, the more this would burn in me. You're going to be part of a revival that's going to touch the entire world. I couldn't shake it. It seemed crazy. It seemed outlandish. It seemed just way out there. I remember again saying, you've gone off the deep end. You're deceived. You're losing. You're crazy. And the more I'd walk with the Lord, the more I'd sense this, the more it would burn in me. And then the late 80s, God moves on me to start writing books on revival. I mentioned the first one a moment ago called The End of the American Gospel Enterprise. My heart was stirred to write this book. Either later this hour or in the coming hour, I'll share more about some amazing things that happened with my book and a supernatural confirmation that came along with it when I wrote it. Not about the book as much as about the calling of God to see revival. And then, you know, a few more years go on, you think, you're wrong. You had the vision, you had the idea of it. God's going to move. He'll use others. He's not going to use you. Or, you know, you forfeited it. Somehow you fell short, or it's not going to happen through you. You won't be involved with it. I didn't think I'd be the only one. I just knew I would be part of a revival that would touch the entire world. And then, lo and behold, God calls me to be part of what's known as the Brownsville Revival. If you heard negative reports about it, thankfully you're talking to an eyewitness in more than 800 different services and an eyewitness of those who were touched in it, who are now serving, bearing incredible fruit for Jesus, loving the Word, loving God, loving the lost, living purely whole lives, and holding to fundamental biblical doctrine around the world today. I'm an eyewitness to that. And suddenly I'm thrust in the midst of this. I wrote a book 3 months before the revival began, which was Father's Day of 95. I wrote a book 3 months before that. And the book's closing words were, "Are you ready?" I sensed something was at the door. Something was ready to happen. And boom, next thing, God calls me to be in the midst of this. And what can I tell you? Can you imagine what it's like being in meetings where for several years, people are lining up at 6 in the morning to get into the meetings that start at 7 at night? And we have to tell the crowds, don't get online before 6 because we can't have security there before 6. That you could show up at certain times of the year, it's at 6 in the morning and the line was already 2 blocks long, you know, wrapped around blocks because of the hunger and thirst for people to get right with God. And the main message was repent, turn from your sin. It wasn't some ear-tickling message. I was an eyewitness to it. We had people from more than 120 nations attending the meetings. And I can't tell you, week in, week out, people would flood through those doors and get radically saved. People would get saved standing in the parking lot before they ever came in the building because the conviction of sin was so deep. I'm an eyewitness to it. I'm an eyewitness to it, friends. And people that knew me from Long Island in those early days would come and sit in my office in Pensacola and say, Mike, you told us about this. You told us it was going to happen. I believe God, friends. And the same God who spoke to me about that has been speaking to me for years that there is going to be a moral and cultural revolution here in America. I believe God, a gospel-based transformation. Let me say again, not hatred, not anger, not intimidation, not violence. We repudiate all of those, but rather the power of the Spirit changing us, and we, as we're changed, go out and have an impact on the world. A whole lot more I want to share with you, but first let me go to the phones. Tim in Boschkill, Pennsylvania. We lost Tim there. All right, hang on, everyone else on the phone. I'll get to you right after the break. Friends, I know in the natural, things look very dire. I know in the natural, things can look really hopeless. First, I am not putting all my hope in this world anyway. My hope is in God. And ultimately, I know his kingdom will come. Ultimately, I know Jesus will return and establish his kingdom. Ultimately, I know the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdom of our God and of his Messiah. Ultimately, I know that the ways of God and the word of God and the will of God will triumph on the earth. And that fuels my perspective more than anything. Follow me? That fuels my perspective more than anything. But can I tell you that I did not pursue getting on the radio. I did not strategically try to work to get on national syndicated radio. But the same God who spoke to me about revival that I would be part of years ago is the same God who spoke to me about moral and cultural revolution and is the same God who spoke to me about being on national radio. This has zero to do with some ambitious plan in my heart. In fact, it's a faith venture and it's a serious commitment, but it is a joy every hour of every day that I'm with you on the air. And I think you know that listening to my voice. But I'm telling you that the same God who spoke these other things to me spoke this, and therefore I am encouraged that he will do something radical in the earth today. We come back, I want to talk to you about how you can distinguish between the voice of God and the Holy Spirit speaking to us versus our own thoughts, our own mind, our own emotions. I'll talk about that briefly. That's the question Timothy had, but wasn't able to stay on to get that answered. So I want to take that up again. If you're signing off now, go to our website later today, askdrbrown.org. Click on the Line of Fire. You can listen to both hours of broadcast. One will supplement the other. And if you want to become a torchbearer, if you want to hold our hands up, if you want to be part of this dream that's within us, and we'll dream together and together make a difference, give us a call at 1-800-278-9978. Our torchbearers receive all kinds of special benefits as well as you stand with us on a monthly basis. And we've put together an outrageous resource package today. Over 16 hours of teaching on revival and over 8 hours of teaching on Jesus Revolution. It's really closer to 30 hours or more of teaching for just $20. That's right, on 2 CDs for your computer or MP3 player, and we'll pay the postage on top of it. So it's a real terrific resource that will minister to you, stir your heart, create vision, and ground it all in the Word. 1-800-278-9978. My entire series on revival and my entire series on Jesus Revolution. At a reduced price, over 30 hours teaching for just $20, and we'll pay the postage. 1-800-278-9978. Friends, dare to believe God.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, so much for joining us today on the Line of Fire. Michael Brown encouraging you to dare to dream, to dare to believe God, to take hold of his promises, in particular if he's spoken things to you in your own life. I want you to know that the fact that I'm speaking to you on the air here is part of something God spoke to me over the years. I've found journal entries, I think it's now 16, 17 years old, where while traveling, while driving and listening to the radio in New York or other parts of the country, I clearly felt the Lord saying to me, you will be on Daily Talk Radio National. And the goal would obviously be to be a voice, to stir revival, to stir Jesus' revolution, to bring about change, not just to entertain people. And I didn't lift a finger to make it happen. I just sought God earnestly for his best for my life and sought to serve him and please him wherever I was. And when the invitation came to go on radio a few years back, going on 4 years back now, to go on radio the first time, I I was asked to do it 1 hour a day, 1 hour a week on Saturdays, and I thought, I don't have the time. I know it's God. I know he's calling me to do it, but who has an hour extra a week to do this, go into the studio and back, and a several-hour commitment? So it's not like I was running to do it, but I knew it was the Lord speaking, and here we are speaking to you today. Hey, all my friends in the New York area, do you know how many years it's been that I felt I was supposed to be on WMCA speaking to you on a daily basis and speaking to you on a weekly basis about Jewish issues and reaching out to the lost sheep of the house of Israel? And here we are doing both on MCA. Isn't, of course, there are many other stations we're on that are part of the larger vision. And hear me, it's not, I have no ambition just to be on the radio, okay? No more than you have the ambition to listen to me being on the radio. My desire is to please God and to see his purposes come to pass in the earth. And I want to say it again. I believe that there will be a moral and cultural revolution here in America based on the gospel, based on the Spirit, based on the power of God, based on the love of God, and that we together will see it happen. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to the phones. David in East Orange, New Jersey. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
How you doing?
Doing very well, David. Thank you.
Oh, you're very welcome. I just wanted to know how and when did you know that God released you to start writing?
Sure thing. I felt the calling to write early on. I mentioned that earlier. When I was saved less than a year, I remember just writing one little paragraph on faith and just being so excited about these insights on faith and feeling I was supposed to write, showing it to my dad, showing it to my pastor. And then over the years, then when I was in college, I had professors telling me my English writing style was good. So, you know, I had an ability to write well, but that doesn't necessarily mean you're called to do it. But what happened was I kept feeling a burden once I started preaching to get the same messages out in book form. But the problem was, David, that when I preached, it was really simple, really clear, just like I'm talking to you on the radio now. But when I would go to write after a page, it just would get bogged down. It wouldn't flow. It just wasn't happening. And this was for 17 years like that. And it would be frustrating because the thing would rise up in me to write, and I just couldn't get it going. And then suddenly, it's like the floodgates open. It was in the summer of 1989. I went away to seek the Lord for 3 days in someone's home that was empty, just to pray and seek the face of God. And he started moving on me to write. And the flow came, and it stayed with me, and it stayed with me. And the book was finished in 3 weeks. And from the books, it's called The End of the American Gospel Enterprise, about repentance and revival in America. And here's the amazing thing. From the day I wrote the first word of it to the day it was published and available to the general public was just 5 months. And then the wow. flood just kept going. So everything's opened up since then. But to this day, when it comes to writing those types of books, the inspirational books, I feel the sense of just total dependence on the Lord. And then when he moves on me, it happens. So in that sense, my dear brother, the proof of the pudding is in the eating. Thank you for the question. Back with more. How can you really tell God's speaking to you when we come back?
God. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks for joining us today on The Line of Fire as I encourage you to dare to dream. I am an eyewitness, friends, to seeing God speak things to my heart, things that seemed impossible at the time, things that seemed unlikely at the time, things that seemed outlandish at the time. And I've lived to see them with my own eyes. 866-34-TRUTH online, askdrbrown.org. Click on The Line of Fire. You know, there was a dream in my heart for years that I would raise up a school that would send out thousands of radicals around the world. I mean, devoted followers of Jesus, preaching the gospel, going to the mission field. And I was involved with schools, either teaching schools or leading schools that never got above 60, 70 people. And then God calls us down to Pensacola in the midst of the Brownsville Revival. And next thing, we're in a school that we raise up a school there and goes from 120 the first semester to over 600 to then over 1,000. Within 2 years, we had more than 1,000 full-time students. Within 4 years, we had grads serving as missionaries in 20 nations. I believe there's still more to that vision to be seen than what's happened, but God can do it. My faith is not in Mike Brown or his ability. I hope your faith is not in you or your ability or what's in your checkbook or how well you can speak or what connections you have. My faith is in the living God who raises the dead. I am as practical as I know how to be and do my best to be as realistic as I know how to be. And we got to pay bills like everybody else. And we've got to push through discouragement like everybody else. And we've got to overcome obstacles like everybody else. But I believe God. And I believe that we are going to see a moral and cultural revolution by the power of the gospel in our lifetimes here in America. Oh, is it possible that we'll have collapse and upheaval? Could be. Is it possible we'll have a positive turn, then a negative turn? I don't have all the details. I just know this dream in my heart that I can't shake. And I would be foolish to shake because God has confirmed it in so many ways up till now. And I've already seen other things he's spoken to me and promised to me. And again, please understand, this has nothing to do with me. It has everything to do with him. Are you with me on that? This has nothing to do with you're great, I'm great. None of us are great. Only God is great. But he works out his great principles through human beings on the earth. 866-34-TRUTH. Dare to dream. If God's spoken to you, journal it. If God's spoken to you, share it with a close circle of people and pray together. If he's spoken to you, say, well, how do I know he's really speaking? Here's what I would say broadly in terms of this topic. If the more you walk with the Lord, the more your life is in harmony with the Lord, you're not walking in open sin and disobedience. You're seeking to please him. You're in good fellowship with him. The more you are consistently walking with him, and the closer you get, the more these things are spoken to you, that tends to be the voice of God. Again, I say tends to be because I don't know your own life. But there are things we can hear and feel. You know, you just backslid, got drunk, and next morning woke up, and I don't know, you feel the Lord speaking to you. Well, maybe he's promising you if you repent, you can be restored. But I'd be careful about getting a lot of revelation in that state. Maybe you've broken away from your home church, just went through a bitter split. You're mad at everybody. They're mad at you. And now you're thinking you're getting all this supernatural revelation. That's a time you need to be really careful because your emotions are really high, and there's a lot of deception flying. However, when you're in the Word, when you're walking with the Lord, when you're in fellowship with other believers, when your life is right with him, and it seems the closer you get, the most intimate moments you have, he speaks things to you. And over a period of years, the things keep being repeated. Man, if that was me, I'd say God is speaking. And then if he says to you, for example, I'll give you a hypothetical example, all right, that you will be a pastoral counsel to the next president of the United States. But first, you will pastor a church that will go from 50 people to 500 in 1 year. And then after that, you'll be asked to be on national TV ministry, and you'll be preaching the gospel to 1 million people a day, after which you'll be asked to be the counselor to the president. Well, when the first two happen, you can be pretty sure about the third. You follow me? Are you with me? And I've seen God do these things, promises he's giving about revival, promises he's giving about the school we raised up, promises he gave me about Jewish ministry and the work that I do, and promises about moral and cultural revolution. I believe God. In fact, I would be dishonoring him not to believe it and not to speak it. Dan in Severn, Massachusetts, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Oh, hey, thanks for taking my call.
You're very welcome.
I have two points I'd like to make as far as, you know, revival in America, and then have you comment on them, if that's
sure.
okay?
Sure.
I think there are two major obstacles standing in the way of revival in America, and they have to do with the Christian community. The first is that I think, I don't know what the percentage it is, but a vast, at least a whole lot of Christians or people who call themselves Christians in America, they believe this total lie, which is I call Satan's genesis. It's the theory of the Big Bang and the theory of evolution. They are both, if you look at the scientific evidence, they're both scientifically impossible. You don't even have to
all
use...
Right, here, Dan, just to keep our focus, though, let's just, if you could be more to the point, that would be useful.
The
all
point
right?
is, I think we need to address that, you know, that the theory of evolution is scientifically impossible, and it's idiotic, and it's absurd. And we need, as Christians or people who call themselves Christians, to stop believing in it. The second thing is, you know, the killing of babies in this country is facilitated by millions of people who call themselves Christians going out and voting for the party of baby killing. Now, we don't address that as true Christians. You know, you need to address it in love. You don't want to condemn people, but it needs to be addressed, just like Paul called for in 1 Corinthians. So I think those two things, if true Christians don't rise up and confront this in love and make it a national thing as a group of true Christians, and there's many churches across this nation, then I think we're blocking revival.
Yeah, and let me comment. I appreciate your thoughts. Of course, for us to all come together in unity is going to require revival itself, you know, because otherwise we'll be very divided. But let me say these two things broadly. Number one, absolutely, revival requires repentance among believers. And that includes repentance of allowing the sin of abortion to flourish in our day. And I say allow because if Christians had come together and spoken up and acted, we wouldn't see things happening there would, and there'd be many children in good homes now or being adopted in good homes, and many mothers that chose not to abort their child that have raised it themselves. So without question, we're culpable of that, and we need to repent. Repentance begins with us. And without question, we need to return to the Word of God to the extent we've compromised our beliefs in the Word of God through believing in evolutionary science, whatever. Obviously, we need to return to the Scriptures. So those broad points that true revival means a return back to the Word of God and a recognition of sin in our midst and a repudiation of that with all of its consequences, of course, amen to those large points, how they work out specifically, and if we're supposed to preach, don't vote Democrat, or if you believe in the Big Bang, we can't have revival. Obviously, that's where some of those things will be disputed. And fair questions, we're just not getting into them at this moment. Roy in the Bronx, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air.
This is Roy.
Yes, go ahead, you're on the air.
Yes, good afternoon. I listen to your program on and off, but what prompted me to call to you today is the comment you made about this teacher in Florida that had made his own personal view. So what I'm saying is that we don't have free speech anymore, privately?
Oh, yeah. This is an absolute attack. For those just tuning in, Roy's talking about the teacher in Florida, teacher of the year last year. Remember, in Florida, same-sex marriage is not legal. And he has expressed on his personal computer, on his personal time, on his personal Facebook page, his differences with the passing of same-sex marriage in New York, because of which he's been suspended. Absolutely, sir, it is a complete attack on his freedom of speech. Doesn't matter who the person is, what they're expressing within this context, it's absolutely his right, just as if... You were a teacher in Florida, and same-sex marriage was outlawed as contrary to the best interest of Florida, and you're a gay teacher, and you say, that has me so upset. You're allowed to say that. So this is a complete assault on his religious liberties. And looking at this in the natural without faith, Roy, I would say it's too late. Our side has lost, but my faith is in God.
yes, your point. And, you know, I think you were free to say this on the other side of the school gate, on the sidewalk.
Yes.
And yeah, I'm sure they, if a Muslim did something like this in contrary to America, they would not trouble him.
Right, and we're not talking about inciting violence or hatred.
No.
You know, they said, well, listen, if this happens, then students coming into his class might be uncomfortable. But what about teachers that are openly celebrating passage of same-sex marriage and they're openly gay? Well, students are uncomfortable with that. But if it's within the constitutional right of the teacher, it's within the right. Hey, got to run. We're actually going to talk about this more on Wednesday afternoon, 3:30 Eastern Standard Time with Matt Barber. Okay, back with more.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Throughout the scriptures, God speaks to people. Impossible things. Impossible things to Abraham, and they happened. Impossible things to Miriam, Mary, the mother of Yeshua, and they happened. You say, well, that's in the Bible. Oh, I'm not saying that we're writing the Bible today. I'm saying we're living out the same promises of the same God who said that his glory would cover the earth as surely as the waters cover the seas, who said that the kingdoms of this world would become the kingdoms of our God and his Messiah, who said that we would go and make disciples of the nations. I don't know exactly what's going to happen before Jesus returns. There are different opposing end time views. I'm not one who personally believes we're going to take over everything and rule the earth before Jesus returns. I don't know that. I do know that we are called to make a difference, that God is with us, that truth triumphs over lies, that light triumphs over darkness, that the Holy Spirit triumphs over all the powers of hell, and that the name of Jesus is higher than any other name in the universe, and therefore I believe God. When Martin Luther King gave his I Have a Dream speech, sounded far-fetched to so many at that time, and yet through much of America, most of America, it's just everyday life. It happened. When people talked about freeing the slaves a century before, it seemed impossible. And William Wilberforce in the late 1700s, early 1800s, had the vision of freeing the United Kingdom from slavery. And there'd be no more slave trade in all the British Empire, no more slaves. It was impossible. It was ridiculous. And John Wesley, 4 days before he died, wrote to Wilberforce and said, unless God's raised you up for this, you're going to be worn out by men and demons. This is impossible. Oh, but if God's with you, who can be against you? Who can be against you? I believe God. He's spoken to me through the years. He's spoken to me about revival I get to be part of, and I've lived it out. I've seen it happen, and I witnessed to it. He spoke to me about things I'd be involved with in different aspects of ministry. I've watched with my own eyes. They've happened. Here I was, 16 years old, shooting heroin, living in rebellion, stealing from my own father, wicked, ugly kid in terms of my spirit, my attitudes, full of pride, anger, wickedness. And God saved me, sent me overseas more than 100 different times to preach in the nations. We have grads serving all over the world, bearing fruit, making a difference for Jesus. I keep hearing more testimonies about more grads out there making a difference. We have grads in Holland. We have grads in Holland. And they have a small church with maybe 25, 30 people. But when they have a prayer meeting, everyone is there. When they have an outreach, everyone is there. Everyone is totally committed to the cause together. And they are basically, from what I understand, the most strongly committed pro-life church in the nation. So they're involved in ministry at abortion clinics and standing up for the unborn, and reaching out to the mothers that are going to abort their babies. Well, here's something remarkable. They have been written up nationally. 25 people in their church. They have been written up nationally because of the stand they've taken, not with hatred, not with anger, but with love for the unborn. they have been written up nationally on that level. Why? Because they stood up for what is right, and God's given them a dream to see change come in Holland. In the natural, it's impossible, but with God, all things are possible. I was just in touch with an editor at Zondervan today. We were discussing some things, and he mentioned to me a book called The Help, which has now sold 5 million copies, as I understand, in the novel about the early civil rights movement. It's called The Help, right? Has over 5 million in print today. I just looked. It was, you know, number one Amazon bestseller, New York Times bestseller, obviously. It was rejected by 60 agents and publishers before it was published. 60 agents and publishers, and yet here it is, selling by the millions. And I'm just using that as a secular, natural illustration. Has God put it in your heart that you're going to see change come to our nation? Has God put it in your heart that you're going to see change come to your city? Has God put it in your heart that you're going to see change come to your local church? Has God put it in your heart that you're going to see change come with a certain people group? God willing, on Thursday, I want to focus on the salvation of Israel in this context of what's promised in dreams from the Lord. Friends, if he's put it in your heart, and you can't shake it, it keeps rising, the promises keep coming back, and your life is consistent in the Lord, you're not a flake, you've got a good track record, what you need to do is hold on to that promise and begin to remind God of that promise and begin to pray into that promise and say, God, bring it to pass, and then find out what you can do today, as small as it may seem, to bring about change. If you're able to take advantage of this week's special resource package, I encourage you to. I'll tell you about it in a moment. But remember, on our website, AskDrBrown.org, it's there for you with hundreds of hours of free resources. That's why we put them online, so you can take advantage of them. It's not like you start listening to a message, and once you're hooked on it, you have to click to pay money for it. There are hundreds of hours of free resources, audio messages you can listen to, articles you can read, videos you can watch on revival, on Jesus Revolution, on Jewish outreach, on cultural change, and debates and so on. They're there. The Voice of Revolution online magazine, all there to take advantage of it. So do it. We invite you to take advantage of it. AskDrBrown.org. And then when you're there, make sure you sign up for our weekly e-blast that'll keep you posted on the best resources that we're putting out and free things that you can take advantage of. And the special resource package we've put together today, more for your money than we've ever done. It's over 30 hours of teaching, over 16 hours on revival, actually probably over 20 hours just on revival, and then probably over 10 hours of teaching on Jesus Revolution that'll stir your heart, that'll challenge you, that'll convict you, that'll build your faith on two CDs for your MP3 player, for your computer. We've reduced the price to just $20 for all of it. So 30-something hours of teaching for just $20, and we'll pay the postage. Give us a call at 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. Ask for today's special resource offer. If you can stand with us with a one-time gift, or better still, become a monthly torchbearer, receive a new message from us every month on CD, and then get 15% discount on our online bookstore, plus get free access to all of our online classes, which are video classes online. Free access to those by becoming a torchbearer. Give us a call at 1-800-278-9978. And once more, let me encourage you. In fact, friends, this is my bottom line today. God is faithful. God is trustworthy. And what he speaks, he will bring to pass. What he speaks, he will do. If he's given you his word, if he's given you his promise, don't let circumstances deter you from believing. The more impossible it seems, the more I encourage you, lift your heart, lift your eyes, and look up to the one who speaks and acts, and he will bring his dreams in you to fulfillment. God's word says in the last days he'll pour out his spirit upon us and we'll dream dreams and see visions. Has God himself put a dream within your heart? I want to encourage you today to dare to dream.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Do you know the fact that I'm speaking to you on the radio now is because of a promise from God? Do you know the fact that we identify this broadcast as a voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual evolution as part of a promise from God? Do you know that God has put promises and dreams within the hearts of many of his people today? And he wants us to believe him. He wants us to take hold of his promises. He wants us to put our trust in him, who speaks things out of nothing, who raises the dead, who does the impossible. And when our resources and abilities are limited and when circumstances are completely against us, he wants us to put our trust in him. Michael Brown, thank you for joining us today on The Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH. This whole week will be a very important series of broadcasts, I believe, and love to hear from you and interact with you during the program. Today, I want to encourage you to dare to dream. I want to share some of my own story. I did so the first hour, but I'm going to share some more details about some other things so that you can listen to both hours with profit. Tomorrow, I want to talk about dangerous deceptions in the body today. If we're really going to believe God and move forward, what are some of the pitfalls? What are some of the major deceptions that are out there? And then Wednesday, On with the Revolution, as we have our God Has a Better Way rally scheduled for this Saturday in the midst of the Pride Charlotte event, as we come with a loving witness into the midst of the Pride Charlotte event. I want to share more of what's happening, more of what's happening in society. You know, I've been getting a lot of emails from people saying, did you hear? I guess you did hear. You probably know about this, the teacher in Florida. And he's been suspended because on his personal Facebook page, he expressed differences in strong terms with the passage of same-sex marriage in New York. Here is Teacher of the Year last year. Had a good rapport with the students for everything I've read. This is on his personal time, on his personal Facebook page, on his personal computer. Come on. And he gets suspended in Florida, where same-sex marriage is not legal anyway. I knew about the news the moment it happened. I mean, as soon as it was public, I knew about it. I follow these things. I didn't bring it up the end of last week. I didn't bring it up Friday. I didn't bring it up strategically because I wanted the news to just spread. I wanted more of you to hear it yourselves and say, what? I can't believe this. So I could kind of say, hey, we've been telling you. We've been warning. We've been speaking this. A real assault on freedom of religion. A real assault on freedom of conscience through gay activism. At the same time that we reach out to the gay and lesbian community. We're going to talk about that on Wednesday, but I am aware of all the bad news that's out there. I get scores of references, news reports, and things sent to me just about every day. Just look at the news. There's a lot of bad news out there, but I believe God. So we'll encourage you as we tell you why we're moving forward with what we do. And then Thursday, God willing, open up the scriptures and then some personal accounts as to why I believe Israel will be saved. We've talked about this in the past. I'm going to share a bit more with it. And then, as always, Friday, you've got questions. We've got answers. Okay. Before I begin to open up my own life here, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Has God really spoken to you about America? Is there hope? Is change possible? Could it be that we could see the greatest revival in American history? Could it be that as low as we've fallen in a thousand different ways, that we could be turned around by the grace and power of God? Is it possible? What's he put in your heart? 866-348-7884. Online, AskDrBrown.org. Click on The Line of Fire. If you go there later today, you can catch the first hour of broadcasting as well, which I believe will edify you and strengthen you. And remember, if you're in the greater Charlotte area, tomorrow, I can't believe it. Tomorrow, our night classes start. I'll be teaching 8 weeks on Principles of Revival, 2 hours a night. It'll be a life-changing class. So go to AskDrBrown.org, click on Fire School of Ministry for more info. We'll be back.
Fire we want, for fire we please. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I'm opening my heart even more than normal today on the broadcast, sharing some things in my own background in even more detail than I normally would. But it's to encourage you. It's to encourage you with the dreams, the vision that God's put within your own heart. 866-34-TRUTH. You know, I would be a fool not to believe God about certain things after he's spoken to me so clearly for so many years. Now, I want to say again and repeat this clearly, why I believe he's spoken certain things to me. I'm not talking about hearing an audible voice, although I believe God can still speak through audible voices to people today. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about out of relationship with God. Romans 8, the Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we're the children of God. And the very depth and core of our being, there's that knowing that we know that we're his children. And Jesus says in John 10 that his sheep know him, they know his voice, and they follow him. So we should know the voice of God, and we should follow the voice of God in the Scripture first and foremost, and in harmony with the Scripture by the Spirit. Now, how many of you have had a circumstance where maybe you had a great job opportunity? Let's say you're non-charismatic, okay? Let's say you don't believe in speaking in tongues or prophecy for today, all right? Many listeners do, I do, but let's just say you don't, all right? We're part of the same family in Jesus. But you had this great job opportunity, but when you prayed, something just felt wrong about it. And the more you went towards it, the wronger you felt. Is there such a word? The worse it felt. And then maybe you and your spouse prayed, and we just don't feel right. It's not that you heard a voice saying, "Do not take this job." No. Wronger is not a word. All right. Well, you get the point. The more wrong you felt. Okay. So it wasn't that you heard a voice, but you just knew. You knew that you knew that you knew, and you couldn't shake it. And you turned out you didn't take the job, and it ended up, it would have been a disaster if you did. We've all experienced something like that, right? What happens when you pray and you have this sense of calling to do a particular job, sense of calling to a particular task, sense of calling to a particular ministry? And the more you're in fellowship with the Lord, the more you love the Lord, the more freely you're serving him, the more you're doing his will, this thing rises up in you. And you can't shake it. And then the thing unfolds, and sure enough, you find yourself doing it. Well, if it happens now a second time with something else or a third time with something else, lo and behold, your faith is stronger. Your faith is stronger. Here, in my own life, when I was a brand new believer, my dad brought me to meet the local rabbi. I was 16 years old, still long-haired, looked like a hippie, but was completely changed on the inside. And now, meeting the local rabbi, we began to interact. And, you know, I didn't know anything except I loved Jesus then, started to read the scriptures. I couldn't read Hebrew at that point. I'd forgotten whatever little Hebrew I knew getting bar mitzvah when I was 13. Now the years go on. I'm interacting with more and more rabbis. I'm getting challenged more and more along the way. And this something starts to rise up in me over a period of years as now I'm doing more advanced studies in college and into grad school. I'm nobody. You have to remember. I'm not connected to any Jewish ministry. I've never been to a Messianic Jewish service. But I just have this sense that God wants to raise me up for Jewish apologetics, that God wants to raise me up on the front lines of answering Jewish objections to Jesus. I just had this sense of destiny and calling, and it was just part of me. I didn't talk about it a lot. It just was part of me. And when Volume 3 of my five-volume series of Answering Jewish Objections to Jesus came out, which was 2003. Volumes 1 and 2 came out in 2000, Volume 3 in 2003, Volume 4 in 2006, Volume 5 in 2010. When Volume 3 came out, and there was an endorsement from a professor here in the greater Charlotte area, basically saying that I had been raised up to this particular position in Messianic Jewish apologetics, I remember reading that saying, I knew that. Now, let me say this clearly. It has nothing to do with whether you're great or I'm great. We're not great, okay? Can I say that again? We're not great. God is great. God is great. He's the one who's given the promises. He's the one who does the work through us. I'm very aware of my frailties and my failings, and without his grace, I wouldn't be saved for 40 years. I lean on the one who started the good work, who's going to keep the good work going, Okay, I don't put my trust in Mike Brown. I don't put my trust in the Line of Fire radio program. I don't put my trust in AskDrBrown.org. I don't put my trust in Fire School of Ministry or Fire Church. I put my trust in the living God. And when you put your trust in living God, that's a pretty big object of trust. So here, I feel a calling to write as a new believer. And writing books was not something that we thought a lot about in our church. And in fact, we encourage people to read the Bible first and foremost. And the first couple of years that I was saved, I barely read any other books outside of the Bible, which was a great, great foundation. But I felt this calling to write. And then once I started preaching, and then as the years went on, and I felt the anointing, or the calling, I should say, to get this message out in writing, it wouldn't flow. Well, finally, 1989, the release to write came out. I shared more of that story in the first hour. But there's another part of the story I want to share. When we had a tremendous outpouring of the Spirit in the church where I was involved in 1982, 1983, for over 3 months, God moved. I mean, dramatic repentance. I mean, people who hardly prayed, praying for hours. People who hardly witnessed, sharing the gospel left and right. People who were perhaps best described as non-witnessing, cigarette-smoking, soap opera-watching, quote, Christians, were now passionately going after God and praying for hours and seeking the face of God and on and on, mightily filled with the Spirit and changed. And God moved through me, and I was dramatically changed. And the years before that, I had started to get intellectually proud, theologically proud with my grad studies and so on. The fire was going down in my own life, and I needed personal revival in my own life, although I didn't recognize it. It's one of the symptoms. We often don't recognize things that are wrong with us. We don't recognize the sickness, hence we don't go to the doctor. I'm talking spiritually. So God begins to move in my own life. I'm changed. The church has changed. And now it's after the outpouring of the Spirit is over. The church is even divided over what happened. It's now 1983, and I start to get stirred. You're going to be part of a revival that touches the world. You're going to be part of a revival that touches the whole world. I thought, you're crazy. You're no, who are you? You're nobody. You're nothing. Part of a little church on Long Island, now that you know you're rejected over what happened there, you're nothing. You're nobody. You're crazy. You're dreaming. Ah, this is a deception. This is the work of the devil. You're deceived now. So I went to two different leaders. It's now 1984. I go to two different leaders, one of whom I knew would be sympathetic to me, one of whom I knew would be hostile to me, just because of where their positions were. And I called the one guy and I said, look, God's really speaking to me about this, and I can't shake it that I'm going to be part of this revival. It's going to, you know, go across the country, and I'm just calling for confirmation. And this guy was a pastor, says to me, don't ever do that again. Don't look to flesh and blood to confirm what God's spoken to you. Now, listen, I am all about accountability. I love accountability. I love being part of a team. I love having people that are able to speak into my life and me into their lives, and that we can submit things one to another and say, hey, if I'm off, tell me. Pray about it. I feel strongly about this, but pray with me about this. To this day, I'm all about that. I love it. I welcome it. When it's uncomfortable, I still welcome it. All right? It's necessary. But I'm just telling you what this pastor tells me. He said, don't ever do this again. Don't come to flesh and blood to confirm what God spoke to you. And then he says, do you journal? I said, well, not really. He said, start journaling. You need to start journaling. And what a godsend that has been. In other words, you go back and you see, hey, God spoke this and it happened. Hey, I wrote this down. I believed this. I was feeling this. And it happened. Wow. What do you know? Dare to dream. Well, I call the other brother. I'm not going to talk to him about, you know, revival is going to touch the whole world. It's too extreme. But I'm going to tell him, listen, I feel that the Lord's spoken to me. I'm going to be part of a revival that touches America. And I knew he would be negative towards me. I trusted his posture would be skeptical towards me. That's why I called him to get a negative voice. And you know what he says to me? Almost the same thing of what the other pastor says to me. He says to me, the only thing that matters is the roll call in heaven. The only thing that matters is what God says, not what people says. Then he says to me, but why are you just talking about America? Why aren't you talking about the whole world? That's what he says to me. And then sure enough, from 1996 to 2000, God called me to be right in the middle, a revival that literally touched the world. I don't mean every person on the globe. I never imagined that. But I got to be part of it. I got to be part of the leadership team, got to be in the midst of it. you know, people have heard, oh, I heard this negative, that. Well, that's because they weren't actually there. I was there in the midst of it for 4 years and saw God move. What can you do when you see little children weeping in repentance and getting radically turned around and right with God? When you see people who are drug addicts before they leave the building, here they come into a church service before they leave the building, flushing their drugs down the toilet, and then they get baptized 6 months later, and then 6 months after that, they're feeling a call of God to go into ministry, and 10 years later, they're serving God passionately. I mean, we saw it night in, night out, and we saw people mightily touched from around the world. And people sat with me in my office there in Pensacola, Florida, and said, Mike, that revival you told us you were going to be part of, here it is. It's amazing. Your dreams are coming to pass. Friends, dare to dream. There's more God has for America.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Great to be with you today on The Line of Fire as I encourage you to dare to dream. 866-34-TRUTH. What's written here in Acts, the second chapter? Everyone that believes we're living in the last days, how about this? In the last days, it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. If we're in the last days, indeed, then shouldn't we be seeing visions and dreaming dreams? Just to focus on that part of the verse, 866-348-7884. I believe that we will see a moral and cultural revolution here in America by the power of the gospel, not by the power of the flesh, not by the power of anger, not by the power of intimidation, not by the power of violence, but by the power of the Spirit through the name of Jesus. I believe we will see it, even though everything in the culture tells me the opposite. Even though everything in the culture tells me there's no way it's going to happen. Even though everything in the culture tells me it's too late, at least for this generation, I believe God. I'm not basing things on circumstances. I'm basing things on what God's spoken in my heart. I'll share more about the vision I have for America in a few minutes. But first, just back to my experience in the past, which is part of my foundation for faith for the future. All right? When I wrote a book in 1989, I had been burdened to write 17 plus years, felt a burden to write, calling to write, on and off it would come on me. And then you're burdened to write, and you write, it stops. I mean, just picture this. You feel the Lord telling you, I've gifted you to run. I've gifted you to run. I've called you to run the marathon. I've called you to run the marathon. Now run. And you start running, and after a mile, your legs cramp, and you collapse, and you can't go fast. I mean, you run that first mile, and you're brilliant, and then boom. And then a year later, you feel this, I'm calling you to run. Get up and run. Get up and run. And you same deal. You run a mile, it's like, what is going on? This doesn't make any sense. And then when you sprint, man, you can sprint like crazy. But God told you to run a marathon. And then you question it. Nah, he didn't call me. Nah, it can't be. Don't. I mean, that happens with all of us. You question it. Happens with me to this day. That even though he's spoken something, you know, you don't want to be presumptuous. Was that really the Lord? I don't know. Maybe I disqualified myself. Maybe I wasn't praying the way I should have prayed. Or I don't know. Maybe there's someone else God's going to. I don't know. Did I really hear him? You know, that's why you journal. That's why you journal and you write it down and you go back to it and you go back to it. I can't deny it. So, after 17 years of feeling this calling to write, it explodes out of me. In a three-week time, I write this book, End of the American Gospel Enterprise. It's basically a book on the promise of revival to America, how God shaped America in the past with revival, and a call to repentance. And as I write the book, I was away praying for a few days, seeking the face of God, and that's when the book started. And I knew I was going to write a book. I knew I'm going to write this thing. It's actually going to happen. And I thought, okay, who should write the foreword to this book? Who's the one person in the world that I identify more than any other person in terms of a message of repentance and revival? I thought it's Leonard Ravenhill. At that point, I'd heard him speak once in 1983, and he was a frail old man in the 70s at that time. I'd read his book, Why Revival Tarries and Revival Praying, and some of his others, and I resonated with this tremendous message of repentance and revival that he brought, and I thought, I'd love him to write the foreword. And then I felt the Spirit I just knew it. He's going to write the foreword to the book. Leonard Ravenhill will write the foreword to your book. And I was sure of it. When I wrote the book, I talked to a potential publisher. He was immediately interested in the book. And I went to meet with him, and I said, and Leonard Ravenhill is going to write the foreword to this book. The problem was, I didn't even know if he was alive at that point. I mean, I believed he was because I felt I knew it, but I didn't even know for sure. I mean, I began to question, is he even alive? You know how it gets. You feel something, you believe God speaks, and you start to question, is he even alive? So, I then talked to a friend with a radio ministry, and he wants to help promote the book when it comes out, and he's going to pre-order some copies for me to help get it published. And I tell him Leonard Ravenhill is going to write the foreword to the book. Now, especially in those days, he was very, very well known because of his Why Revival Taggart's books and was the great voice of revival to many, many leaders my age. That was a formative book, a life-changing book that they read. So Nancy, my wonderful wife, full of wisdom, said to me, did God speak to you that Leonard Ravenhill is going to write the foreword to that book? I said, honey, God doesn't have to speak to me. It's all over me. It's all over me. I know it. She said, well, maybe you should just stop telling people. I thought, that's wisdom. I agree with that. Well, shortly after that, I meet Leonard Ravenhill's son, David, unexpectedly. I was visiting some folks in another state. There he was a pastor. I had no clue. I meet him and hear him bring a wonderful message, and then we pray together at the prayer meeting, and I said, your dad, what's he doing? Is he still alive? You know, what's he doing? He said, yeah, he's actually gotten a little strengthened lately. He's traveled out a bit preaching. I said, hey, I've got a manuscript I want to send him. He'd give me his address. So he gives me his address, and I write to Leonard Ravenhill. Now, as I got very close to Len the last 5 years of his life, I realized how extraordinary it is that things happened the way they did. Because as I got close to him, when I'd go visit him and spend a couple days or 3 days at his home, he had stacks and stacks of mail on his desk and manuscripts and things people wanted to look at that he never got to. And I'm talking about a year later, I'd come back and the same things were still sitting there. He hadn't gotten to them. And his wife, Martha, was basically the secretary and helper. And he had 20, 30 guests coming in from around the world every week, just wanted to spend a half hour, hour with him, talk with him. And he spent hours and hours in prayer every day. And well, anyway, I send him the manuscript. I don't ask him to write the foreword because I'm so sure it's God. I tell him I would be honored to receive his comments and his criticisms. All right. Now, you have to remember, when I wrote this book, it was confirmation to me that God was going to send revival, that there would be a revival movement that would come to America, and that I would be part of it. That's what was so exciting to me about this. Not the book itself, although the book will speak to you if you read it, but the larger message that God was going to bring repentance. I don't mean everyone in the nation, but that we would see a real revival movement. Well, I long story short, when Leonard Ravenhill actually gets the manuscript, he calls me, collect, on the phone the next day, and says, I never do this, but I got your manuscript. I read it in 1 hour. As soon as I got it, I read it. He said, I never do it. And once I got to know him, I understood, wow, this is completely outrageous that he did. And he then volunteers to write the foreword to the book. And then God called us to be close friends the last 5 years of his life. And I believe the revival that he prayed for decades came to different parts of America, largely as a result of his prayers and the prayers of others. What I'm saying is, I wasn't dreaming in terms of empty words. It was really God. It was really something that he had spoken to me, and I lived to see it, and that was part of the miraculous confirmation. Has God spoken something to you? Has he confirmed it? Is it something that as you walk with him, you can't shake, that revival is going to come to your church, or there's going to be an outpouring in your city, or God's going to turn the moral climate, or you're going to see abortion on demand, removed from our society, Roe v. Wade overturned, whatever it is, if he's spoken, hold on to it, believe and pray, dare to dream. Friends, 1-800-278-9978 is the number to call if you want to stand with us. If you want to join together with me, together we are making a difference by God's grace. If you want to become a torchbearer, if you want to become a monthly supporter standing with us, if you want to help with a one-time donation, give us a call at 1-800-278-9978. We come back. I'm going to tell you why I believe there's going to be a moral and cultural revolution here in America.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on the line of fire today. Later this week, this Saturday, God willing, we will be having our God Has a Better Way event in the heart of Charlotte. And it is an event where we are a gospel presence in a loving way, in a way of peaceful sharing the goodness of God in the midst of a gay pride event. And it is part of what we believe, God speaking to us, that he will turn the tide here in America. Now, every day there's news that comes, sometimes by the minute, about change coming, where gay activists would say, you see, it's all over, give it up. Same-sex marriage is going to be legal. Your freedoms of speech to differ are going to be taken away. We'll talk more about that Wednesday afternoon in terms of some recent cases here in America with a Florida school teacher and others. Churches are recognizing that their beliefs about homosexuality are wrong. Just give it up. I believe God is going to turn the tide. In the natural, it's impossible. But I believe God. And the fact that I'm speaking to you on the air right now, and you're listening to me on the air right now, is sufficient proof to me that God is going to do it. You say, what? A lot of people are on the air. Oh, I understand that. It's not a miracle to be on the radio. If this is part of something larger, I want to encourage you to dare to dream. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Has God put it in your heart? I'm not asking for a personal testimony about who you are or what God's called you to do. But has God put it in your heart that something is going to happen on a national level where there's going to be a revival, where there's going to be a turning, where there's going to be a moral or cultural revolution? I know there's some folks, like people who wrote the Fourth Turning Point book, if that's the right title of it, that some folks that just look at things cyclically, and you hit this cycle and that changes, now this cycle and that's going to change, and it's just inevitable and kind of goes like that. But I'm talking more than that. As you pray, as you really get close to the Lord, as you're in fellowship with him, the closer you get to the light, the closer you get to the heart of God, the more sensitive you're going to be to his voice. Just like the game, you're getting hotter. Well, when you're in really close fellowship with the Lord, has he been speaking to you? Maybe it's been regular for years and years and years. You'll be in a worship service and just focused on loving God and worshiping the Lord. And suddenly, oh, you're gripped with this vision and burden. God's going to shake America. God's going to send revival to America. You know, you're studying the Word, and the more you're in the Word, the more the Word's just speaking to you. Repentance is going to come. If you feel that way, give me a call, 866-34-TRUTH. But I want to tell you today why I'm convinced it's going to happen. Now, look, I'm not saying, thus saith the Lord. I'm just telling you what, to the core of my being, I believe. And the very fact I'm on the radio is part of it. When years ago God spoke to me that I'd be part of a revival that would touch the entire world and burned in me and shook in me, I thought I was crazy. I thought it never happened. And sure enough, it happened. Sure enough, I was part of it from 1996 to 2000 in Pensacola, Florida. And to this day, there's fruit that remains all around America, all around the world, as people who were touched in those meetings, touched in that revival, are making a difference, are bearing fruit, are seeing the lost saved, are seeing people come to repentance, are seeing holiness rise, are seeing Jesus exalted. All around America, all around the nations. It happened. I'm an eyewitness to it for 4 years, and there are hundreds of thousands of other eyewitnesses, probably several million other eyewitnesses who can attest to it. The gracious ministry the Lord's allowed us to do with the Jewish people and being on the front lines of Jewish apologetics and debating rabbis, for years I felt I was supposed to be on the front lines doing that when I was nobody and knew very little, and here the Lord's raised us up to do it. We're talking about his call. We're talking about his grace. We're all flesh and blood. No superstars here. In fact, it's not hard for me to be humble because I know myself well enough. And it's not hard for my wife to not be impressed with me. She knows me well enough. Oh, she'll tell you I love the Lord and I'm consistent in my walk with him. But no superstars here. Regular people who need Jesus. But I'm telling you, he's given promises. And we're going to see something happen in America. I believe it. I want that faith to be contagious in your heart. I'm going to share more. Stay with us.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks so much for joining us today on the broadcast. As I encourage you to dare to dream, Peter, quoting from Joel in Acts chapter 2, said that in the last days, God would pour his spirit on who? All flesh, right? Sons and daughters would prophesy. In other words, not just prophets, not just a select few, but sons and daughters would prophesy, speak forth God's word, and young men would see visions, old men would dream dreams. Where are the visions, where are the dreams that God's giving to us in these last days? Yes, they began at Pentecost, they began at Shavuot 2,000 years ago. They continue till this day, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Let me share a few specific things with you in terms of why I'm so convinced that we are going to see a moral and cultural revolution come to America through the gospel. I'll say it yet again, not through anger, not through hatred, not through intimidation, not through violence. God forbid, we renounce all of that, but through the gospel, overcoming evil with good, overcoming hatred with love, overcoming lies with truth. Let me tell you why. And well, there's one quick thing before I forget. A shout out to my friends in the Phoenix area, pastors, messianic leaders in the Phoenix area. I'm scheduled to be in Phoenix Wednesday, September 14th, whatever the middle Wednesday, I believe it's September 14th. I might be able to come in earlier for a few days of ministry, for a Saturday, a meeting at a messianic congregation, for some Sunday preaching, and then we're going to have a public meeting Wednesday night. So I might be able to come in earlier, but I need to hear from you ASAP if you'd like to extend an invitation for us to do that. So if that's the case, just go to my website, askdrbrown.org, and there's contact information there. Or you can call our regular number here, 866-34-TRUTH, and pass on your contact info, and it'll be passed on to us. I might be able to come in a few days earlier and do some ministry that weekend. Okay. Over 15 years ago, I journaled while driving in my car, listening to talk radio. I felt the Lord stirring my heart, and I subsequently journaled that God wanted me on national talk radio. Now, you have to understand, this was never something I really thought about, never really something that I had as a goal. And in point of fact, with the ministry I've been doing over the years between teaching at our own school of ministry at different parts of the country, leading the school, so teaching there, and then in addition to that, preaching all around America, all around the world, and then writing books, and then doing scholarly work, and then doing Jewish outreach, there was no room for anything extra anyway. Everything was fully booked in terms of my own life responsibilities. Well, on and off over the years, this would come up in my spirit, to the point that sometimes I'd be listening to talk radio while driving, and I would say, now, how does one arrange their schedule? How do I rearrange my life to be on the radio a few hours a day, 5 days a week? How do I do that? Strange, isn't it? But with it was this notion that it will be part, and hear me as clearly as I can say it, part, P-A-R-T, not the man, not the big guy, but a part of a larger national movement to turn America in repentance, to turn a generation back to God, all right? I'm just telling you what's in my spirit, that I felt just intuitively that this would happen, that I would be on national talk radio, and this would be part of a moral and cultural revolution. To say again, I'm not the guy, I'm not the big shot, I'm not the man, all right? But I'm a part, I play a part, play a role, just like you do. Now, here's something else that's interesting. I would go to pray, and I'm telling you, in my most intimate moments with God, this had happened on and off for years. In my most intimate moments with God, I'd get grip with this realization there's going to be a moral and cultural revolution, gospel-based in America, that it's going to be as real as a civil rights movement. And just like there were leaders like Martin Luther King and others, you're going to get to be part of it. Part. I say part again. And it would be so overwhelming, I would journal it and then say, it got to be crazy. But the funny thing is, a year or two later, the identical thing would happen, and I'd journal it again. And then I'd go search my journal and think, that's the same thing, almost the same words, the same sense, the same burden, the same vision as I had once, twice, three times, four times. What in the world is going on? I believe God. Well, he also begins to stir my heart about 7 years ago, turn back the tide of homosexual activism in America. Well, in the natural, it's ridiculous. Number one, because gay activism has had such an influence on our culture, especially among the younger generation, that you're no more going to do that than stop the tide from coming in the ocean. I mean, massive changes have come to our culture, and it seems inevitable, especially as the younger generation gets older and votes and so on, that there's going to be a massive sea change in terms of gay activism in America, to the point that people who believe what you and I believe will be so marginalized we won't even have a voice. That's just the way it's going in the natural. But I believe God. And I fully understood that I'm one of many people on this team, and yet I knew I had a role to play, and I couldn't shake it. And then I get stirred to write this book, A Queer Thing Happened to America, and I believe God's going to use the book to make an impact. And as I go to write the book, no publisher wants to touch it. Again, mentioned this in the first hour, but I was talking earlier today with an editor friend of mine at Zondervan Books, and he mentioned the book called The Help, which is a national bestseller. It sold over 5 million copies. I think it's a novel about the early days of the civil rights movement. Do you know it was rejected by 60 agents and publishers? 60 agents and publishers, according to what I was told, and now 5 million in print. So as I'm writing my book, I'm not saying they're going to be 5 million in print, but as I'm writing my book, and no publishers are going to touch it, I start to get more encouraged by the moment. Praise God. He's going to use it. You're crazy. No one even wants to touch it. You don't even have money to publish it. And God made the way for us to start our own publishing house, Equal Time Books. Some publisher may pick it up at some time, but right now we've published it ourselves, Equal Time Books, and supplied funds. There's a whole story there, miraculously, to get the book out. I'm watching this happen. And then I'm watching people reading it, and they're being impacted. I'm thinking, I believe God. Well, a few years back, I was doing a series of interviews on a number of different radio stations on a wide range of subjects at the request of someone that was working with a publisher. And I'm going to do an interview on a show called Truth Talk Live, hosted by a fellow named Stuart Epperson. Knew the dad's name, Stuart Epperson, and leader at Salem Communications for years, and a national evangelical leader, one of the most highly respected national evangelical leaders in the country. And I knew that name. I didn't realize he had a son, Stu Jr. But before doing that interview that day, I felt the Lord say to me, he's going to say to you, you need to be on the air. You need to have your own radio broadcast. We need to help get you on the air. And sure enough, I'm doing this interview. The subject was, can you be gay and Christian? I'm doing this interview with Stu Epperson Jr. of the Truth Radio Network. And right at this moment, I'm speaking on the Truth Radio Network and on Salem Radio Network across America. And I felt he's going to say that to me. Sure enough, during the first break, he says, Doc, we got to get you on the air. Barely knew me. He just heard about me a little. We got to get you on the air. You need your own show. And we agreed that we'd shoot for one Saturday, one hour a day on Saturdays, and record some power minutes, these little one-minute spots to air at different times. I thought, I feel it's the Lord, but who has an hour? I mean, I don't have an hour. I have an hour a week and then commute there back and forth, but it was the Lord. And then, hear me, I felt the Lord speaking clearly to me. You'll be on national radio. You'll be on national radio with Salem Communications. And you'll be part of a moral and cultural revolution in America. And here I am on all of the stations with the Truth Radio Network. Here I am speaking to you through Salem Communications, syndicated nationally. On weekends, those of you listening on a Sunday will hear this on the American Family Radio Network across the country. And on other networks, he's alive, and other networks that we're on around America. The point I'm making is this. It's not ambition to me. I'll go home and pray. I'll go home and write a book. I'll go pray. I love being in the nations. I've got to cut back on my international travel because of radio. But it's my joy and privilege to do it. But trust me, I miss being out in the nations more. I refuse things, speaking things all the time because of my radio schedule and commitments. This is not like I have nothing else to do these 2 hours every day and then the preparation for the show and the things that were following up the show. I'm just telling you, it's a calling from God. And I hope you sense it as you listen. I hope you sense it's more than just I'm on here to talk and fill the hour and you know, just shoot the breeze. I believe that we are going to see a turning in America. I believe there's going to be an awakening in the church. Everyone on hold, stay with us, because right after the break, I want to hear what you have to say along these lines. So hang on there. The phones, thanks for being patient. So as I come to you today, author of A Queer Thing Happened to America, host of the Line of Fire broadcast, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. This is all part of something larger that God has spoken to me. And I want to encourage you to dream your dreams together with me, that we are going to see America shaken by the gospel. Oh, I don't know what degree of shaking is going to come. I don't know what degree of upheaval we're going to have in our nation. I know that we, for our part, will not go the way of violence, hatred, intimidation. We will go the Jesus way. But as sure as I'm speaking to you, I believe there will be a moral and cultural and spiritual revolution right here in America, and we will see it together for the glory of God.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Great to be with you today, friends, on the Line of Fire broadcast. By God's grace, bring a word of encouragement, bringing a word of faith, bringing a word of hope that our God is going to move in our nation. And that as he's pouring out his spirit around the world and shaking nations and millions are coming to faith, that he will not forsake our nation. Oh, it's a dire situation we're in on 100 fronts. And so much of the church is backslidden, compromised. Tomorrow's whole broadcast, I'm going to focus on the subject of major deception in the body today. So you don't want to miss that show. But I believe God, and I believe there will be a revival that will result in a moral and cultural revolution. In the natural, impossible. In the natural, crazy to even say the words. But spiritually, with God, this is not even a difficult thing. To the phones, James in Winston-Salem, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Not a problem. Thank you for having me, Dr. Brown.
Sure thing.
I see now the spirit right now throughout all flesh, throughout the world. Here in America, we're spiritually impotent because of, financial, our material success, or material comforts that we have. In other countries, China, Muslim countries, India, there is more of an outpouring. Now, the list is not going to let you hear this, so we have to believe by faith that it's happening. We have to act on it. All Christian listeners and all Christians that I run into, be honest with what God. Don't hold it back. Don't be afraid to share. Don't be afraid to be called a lunatic or whatever. Share what God's done in your heart, in your life, your testimony, and just, allow God to use that seed to grow in the people around you. Mm-hmm. But I believe some people here in America are so, just they're have so many material comforts that they're just inept.
I mean, in many ways we're caught up with this world, with this age, and then we just figure that somehow God exists to just fulfill our carnal dreams, to make us bigger and better. No, he wants his kingdom to come in power. But yeah, let's do what we can, plant seeds and believe God, and in our own lives repent where we need to, so he can work through us. Thanks for the call, man. God bless you. 866-34-TRUTH. Patrick in West Bloomfield, Michigan, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown.
Hello.
Yeah, I've just had just a feeling that's been in the past month that has just been an overwhelming feeling that that there's going to be this huge harvest and that it's the Jewish people and that there are not going to be enough workers to be there. It's just going to be such a, I've never felt like that before. I've been witnessing to a past customer of mine for a year and a half now. We meet every Friday. He's Jewish, he's atheist, and we read the New Testament together.
Mm.
The Lord has done such amazing miracles in his life, in saving his marriage, pulling it out of divorce court after each time he and I prayed. Every time he tells me he doesn't believe in God, but the miracles have just been amazing to me.
Mm.
I've never seen anything like it.
And you just feel in your own spirit that there's going to be a great harvest of Jewish souls to the point that there won't be enough workers, there won't be enough laborers to help disciple them. And, in fact, Patrick, on Thursday, God willing, I want to talk about when Paul says all Israel will be saved, but I want to share some personal experiences I've had over the years that will build faith. So not only what's written in Scripture, but experiences I've had that will build faith. And I want to encourage you to stay faithful. There is a friend of mine who's a Jewish believer from Israel, and his life had many ups and downs, times fighting in the Israeli army. He was almost killed, should have been killed, times when, because of foolish things he did in life, he should have died. And he met a Christian man that was actually looking for someone to tutor him in Hebrew. And this Christian man had been praying for years for a Jewish person. He didn't know the person's name, but he had this tremendous burden. And he would journal when he felt this person's life was in danger, and journal when he was especially burdened to pray. And when he met this Israeli man who was going to tutor him in Hebrew, and they began to get to know each other, and trust was built between them. And he told him he had been praying for a Jewish man, an Israeli man, for years to be saved, and began to pull out the journal. The very days that this man's life was threatened, those were the days when he was especially burdened and prayed that he'd be spared from death. And ultimately, this man came to faith. So, Patrick, stay with it. May the Lord use you to open this man's eyes, and may the truth of the Scriptures, just in these coming days, suddenly just open up in front of him. God bless you, man. Thank you for the call.
Thank you.
All right. I would have heard more, but we are real short on time. So again, if you're in the greater Charlotte area, tomorrow, I'm not giving the date, August 23rd. Tomorrow's August 23rd. We start our night classes, our first ever night class. It starts at 7 o'clock. Those that know the area, we're less than a half mile from the Charlotte Motor Speedway. Get there a few minutes early to register. I'll be teaching 8 weeks on principles of revival. I think it'll be a real life-changing, edifying class. We're looking to the Lord to meet us. And then August 27th, if you're in the greater Charlotte area or a few hours away, want to join us, from 12 to 3, we'll have our God Has a Better Way event in the midst of the Pride Charlotte event, the Gay Pride event in the city. Details are found at GodHasABetterWay.com. And then an outreach concert that night in Marshall Park in the heart of Charlotte, 7 o'clock. So if you can't show up during the day, show up at night. Bring some friends who are not believers. Plan to have some of the folks who will be ministering that night in concert joining us on the broadcast here this coming Wednesday. So a lot happening. We believe God's going to do some things in the city and region here that will bring encouragement to the nation. Let it be so for each city where you are. And again, if you're in the greater Phoenix area, pastor, leader, and would like to have us come in, Saturday, 14th, 13th, 12th, 11th, 10th. So somewhere around there, 9th, 10th, 11th, to do some ministry. I'm going to be out in the Phoenix area, maybe able to schedule a few extra days. Just contact us through the website, askdrbrown.org. All right. And then we'll have, we're coming to a number of the cities where you are for some radio rallies, for some pastors' meetings, for some church meetings. So we'll keep you posted as we're coming near your areas. And it's a wonderful joy. I can't tell you how much I enjoy meeting folks who listen to the broadcast in different states as I travel. And the smiles we exchange, it's as if we've known each other for years. So I'm really looking forward to getting to meet some of you in different cities. We've got a really neat resource offer. More hours of teaching for your dollar than anything we've ever put together. Over 20 hours of teaching on revival that I did on one CD for your MP3 player or your computer. So you don't live in Charlotte, you can't come to my class. Hey, get this CD. Along with over 10 hours of teaching on Jesus Revolution and our calling to be world changers. Two CDs for your MP3 player or your computer. Over 30 hours of teaching just for $20 for everything. And we'll pay the postage. How's that? Good deal? Call us at 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978 for the two CDs on Revival, Jesus Revolution, over 30 hours of teaching. Once again, that's 1-800-278-9978. Also, the number to call if you want to become a monthly supporter, a torchbearer, help us dream this dream together. Together we can make a difference. My bottom line, our God is the God of the impossible. Our God is the God who raises the dead. Our God is the one to whom nothing is too difficult. Believe him. And if he's spoken to you, hold on to that word through thick and thin, and he will prove himself faithful.